Thank you, Jen and girls. I was trying to think about what I should talk about today, and I was recalled one of Mike's last sermons got me thinking about things. 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Some years ago, Charlie Ness, when he was the pastor, had a couple of men, Alvin and Wayne. They came from Canada. May you remember Alvin and Wayne? Hank, does that ring a bell? We're going back quite a few years, but they worked with the Native Indians up there in Red Lake, Canada. They had churches. They were missionaries, evangelists, prophets, and we had some tapes of some of their sermons and stuff. They're fascinating. I remember one of the stories Alvin talked about. They had adopted a little Indian baby girl, and they raised her. And when she became a teenager, she ran off. She got hooked up with the wrong crowd and ran off to the city. And they were afraid she was involved with drugs and whatnot. And they were distraught, of course. And one night they were praying diligently, fasting and praying and waiting for an answer. And there was a knock on the door. It was snowing out, they said, Alvin said. And an elderly woman came in and prayed with them and told them that, you know, their daughter was all right and she would be returning to the family soon. And then she left, and one of the daughters ran out after her and realized that there was no car, there was no automobile, there was no tracks in the snow. And I thought that was a good story, probably a visitation. And also Alvin told a story about he used to drive his tractor across the lakes when it was, you know, they were frozen over up there. And one time he was going across the large lake, which he had done many times before, and the ice gave way, and he sunk to the bottom. He was caught on the tractor, sunk to the bottom of the lake, and somehow the Lord miraculously brought him to the surface again, and he survived. And Wayne told a story about during a blizzard how he had severely cut his leg with a chainsaw, and there was no way to get to the doctor or hospital, and his little 5-year-old girl said, you know, told him that God was going to heal him, and she prayed for her dad, and he was miraculously healed. So I always like those kind of stories, so I thought I'd share those. But Wayne, when he was here preaching, we had a big podium here then, and I remember him pounding on the podium and saying, "The spiritual realm is more real than this wood podium." And that always stuck with me, you know. So that's what I want to kind of talk about today. Seeing the unseen and hearing in the silence. There's a lot of stories in the Bible that go along with that. And I'm going to have Jeff, we're going to show a little clip of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And just so you have a little background, Indiana Jones and his father, Sean Connery, are in pursuit of the Holy Grail, the cup that Jesus supposedly drank from during the Last Supper. And supposedly Joseph of Arimathea, the one who took Jesus' body, supposedly captured some of Jesus' blood from when he was crucified. And if you drank from the chalice or the grail, you would have eternal life, and it was also supposed to heal. So Indiana Jones and his father are pursuing the grail because the Nazis, the forces of darkness, are pursuing it also for their evil intent. And Indiana Jones and his dad are trying to get there first. So we'll take it from there.
You know something, Dr. Jones? You're absolutely right.
Pat. Pat.
Junior.
No!
Get back! Of the Grail is the only thing that can save your father now. It's time to ask yourself what you believe.
From the lion's head.
To watch the movie than hear me talk, but well, there's a couple good, three good lessons there.
humble yourself, stand on the Word of God, and take that leap of faith. So I wanted to talk about, like I said, seeing the unseen and hearing in the silence. Abraham was known as God's friend. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Romans 4:17, the God who calls things that are not as though they were. He's talking about Abraham. God has the ability to create things, something out of nothing. Abraham was about 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was conceived. God created the heavens and earth out of nothing. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, 1, 2, and 3. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. At God's command, what is seen was not made of what was visible. When God created the heavens and earth, there was void, the word says, and there was nothing there. God creates something out of nothing. 2 Kings 6:15 tells the story of Elisha and his servant. They were surrounded by the Arameans. And the servant said to Elisha, "Oh Lord, what will we do?" And Elijah responded, "Those who are with us are more than those who are against us." And Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." He looked around and the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire. They were there all the time. Elisha could see them, but the Lord had to open the servant's spiritual eyes. One time Daniel was fasting and praying for 3 weeks, and he was given a vision that only he could see. The men around him heard a loud noise. They were fearful and trembling and fled, but Daniel could see, and he was the only one who could see and hear. The same thing happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. He was knocked to the ground. Is that the Holy Spirit coming in, Janine? Thank you. He was knocked to the ground, and again, the people that were with him, they couldn't see or hear what he heard. And only Paul could see and hear. And then he was blind. You know the story, he was blind for 3 days, and then he received his sight. 1 Kings 19:11, the Lord told Elijah, a little background on that. Elijah had just defeated the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel in a major victory where he proved that, if you remember the story, the prophets of Baal were praying all morning and chanting and cutting themselves and trying to get Baal to come down and consume the sacrifices. There was two bulls on separate altars, and nothing happened. And then Elijah prayed. He waited till they got done, and he prayed. He asked the Lord to come down and show the people of Israel who the true God was, and he did. He consumed the bull and even the stones and the water and everything. So after this, Elijah, even though he had that major victory, he was still fearful of, because Jezebel sent out a hit list for him to be executed, and he was fearful, even after he had that great victory. And it says he fled to Mount Horeb, and that's where I'll pick it up here, 1 Kings 19. The Lord told Elijah's hiding in the cave. The Lord told Elijah to go out and stand on the mountain, and he would pass by. The Lord would pass by. The Lord sent a powerful wind. Then the Lord sent an earthquake, then a fire, and the Lord was not in any of the three. God spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. The New Revised Standard Edition says he spoke to him in sheer silence. Acts 2, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in a mighty rushing wind, and sometimes he comes in the silence. I had talked another time about Samuel. As a small boy, he was taken to the temple by his mother Hannah to minister with Eli, who was the priest at that time, and God had spoken to him a couple times, and Samuel kept thinking it was Eli. Samuel had to learn to hear the word of the Lord, and it says in that same book, Samuel, 1 Samuel, in those days the word of the Lord was scarce, and at the same time the prophet Amos had prophesied that there would be a famine in the land. Not for food or water, but a famine from hearing the word of the Lord. Samuel 3:7 says, Samuel did not yet know the word of the Lord. Then verse 9, Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." And then by verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Samuel not only learned to hear the word of the Lord, but he learned to speak it, and he was known as God's spokesman, his prophet throughout all Israel. Sometimes God silences his answer. Look at the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. After receiving the news that Lazarus was sick, Jesus delayed an additional 2 days. The sisters knew Jesus could heal Lazarus, but he waited 2 extra days before he went to Bethany, where they lived. The sisters waited, but there was no word from Jesus. This was a time of silence. We've all been there, a major crisis in our lives. We pray, we wait, no answer. But in this case, by the death and resurrection of Lazarus, the Lord would be glorified, and it prompted the Pharisees to crucify Jesus. It says that some of the Jews who came out to celebrate, more or less, mourn for the funeral of Lazarus, were there, and the Pharisees were there too. And a lot of the people were saved as a result of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And so God was glorified, but also Jesus pointed out that this was part of this resurrection of Lazarus was for, this is when the Jews, the Pharisees, plotted to kill Jesus. So it had two purposes. Some were saved and some were lost on that day. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 to walk by faith and not by sight. And Jesus tells us about the story of doubting Thomas. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe." That's us. We haven't seen Jesus personally, but we believe. You remember that story? Jesus put out his hands so Thomas could put his fingers in the holes in Jesus' hands and the hole in his side. So I have to commend us that we are a part of that group, but even though we have not seen, we believe. I think that was a word for us in the future. God speaks to us through all our senses. You can see and hear the beauty of his creation around us. You can feel his presence. You can smell the fragrance after the rain, the scent of the flowers, a day like today, just the beauty of his creation. God even uses us, it says, as an aroma to spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. We are God's fragrance to the world. Moses 11:27, Moses persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Matthew 6:6, Jesus tells us, when you pray, go into your closet, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Sometimes when we sense a spirit of heaviness for no apparent reason, and we're not sure how to pray, we can ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. I think Deb mentioned that a few weeks ago, Romans 8, about when we're not sure how to pray or we're in a bad situation, we can just ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. God wants us to seek him, not just seek him for the things he can give us. Seek him first and all things will be added unto you, the word says. God is always speaking to us, but a lot of times it is in the silence. Like Elijah and Samuel, we need to listen for that still small voice. Take time each day to seek him, to listen for him, to wait on him, and he will come. So I'm going to do a closing prayer, and then we can talk about anything. One question I had is for Indiana Jones, if you thought the bridge was always there, or his faith caused the bridge to appear. And we can talk about that if you want. Let's pray. Lord, what is your heart for here at Wellspring, Lord? What is your heart for us today, Lord? Lord, I just ask you would help us to trust you, even in those times of silence, Lord. I pray you might give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts to perceive, Lord, hearts to understand, Lord. And we just pray your blessing on Wellspring, Lord. We pray your blessing on each one, Lord, that's here, those that aren't here today. We pray, Lord, that you would give us those eyes to see, Lord, to see what's going on and what you see, Lord, what you see in the spirit, Lord, in the realm, the spiritual realm, Lord. And when there's times of difficulty and struggle, Lord, help us to see, Lord, see that your hand is at work, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, any comments? Anybody have any thoughts on whether the bridge was there or Indiana Jones' faith? In three lessons, the humility, standing on God's word, and faith. The leap of faith, that's a good example. What's that, Janine? Okay. Anybody else? Any thoughts?
I was thinking about my uncle who
definitely exciting movies, and they have a moral too, the good versus evil story, for sure. Kim? Sure.
It would cause doubt, and I know that doubt is basically the evil one coming in and saying, well, if you can't get a voice, you can get mine, you know, so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I struggle with that, too, and I too, take, and I would, you know, encourage everybody to just take that time to listen, you know, just, we're so busy, and we're doing so many things. I heard a preacher the other day say, even those who are intercessors, you know, you can get caught up in praying for so many other things, people, situations, troubles, and it distracts you from spending that time with God. You think you're doing a good thing, you're interceding for people, but even that sometimes can become your focus and your only focus. And I think we have to set time aside each day to spend with God. I think that's so crucial for each one of us. And just to listen for that voice. A lot of times, He doesn't necessarily speak right at that minute, but he'll speak another time in another way. And that's why I was saying, like, your five senses. You can sense God in other ways besides hearing his voice or seeing. But there's so many ways that he speaks to us. So, what was that, Kathy? Exactly. Yep. A word from somebody. Or reading the word, how that scripture will jump out to you. You know, you're reading and reading, and then all of a sudden, boom, something jumps out at you. It's the Holy Spirit. You got the good angel on one shoulder, like the cartoon, the angel on one shoulder and the... I'll just share this with you one time. I was up at the park up there at Salford down there along the Branch Creek. And I was walking along the creek and I was praying and I was, singing, just a closer walk with thee. And I was like pretending I was holding God's hand and I'm walking and singing. And then I realized that if I was holding God's hand, he was walking in the creek, right? And I said, God, I'm walking in the creek. And he says, did you forget I could walk on water? But I felt like that was something he said to me. And I laughed, and I felt like he was laughing. You know, just something that happened one time. So, anything else? Eloise, we're going to sing that song, In the Bulb There Is a Flower.